Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. My name is William Wolfe. It is now June 14, 2020. We are more than halfway through the 17th year of broadcast of Middle East Radio Forum. This program started in October of 2003, so we are well into the 17th year of broadcast. I'd like to thank my listeners for helping me do that. The reason that you help me is by the way you do it is by supporting the advertisers, and I very much appreciate it. This program's available worldwide on the Internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.org. This time of year, it's noon Pacific time, and here in Arizona, since Arizona does not go on daylight time, it's 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 10 p.m. in Israel. So please do spread the word about this show. It's also available on podcasts. You can listen to old shows anytime you like. Also, this show is being rebroadcast Saturday evenings at 9 o'clock. So that's another way you can listen to the show. I thank you for supporting me, and I thank you for listening. We have a great show today. We have a very special guest, Ted Bellman. He's going to be my main guest from Israel. But first, as usual, we start off Yoni Tidi, often known as Yoni the Blogger. Yoni, go ahead, depress me again.
I'll do my best. This week, Arab members of Knesset submitted legislation that would make the pre-1967 borders Israel's legal borders and the limits of its sovereignty. The bill states, since the founding of the State of Israel, its borders have not yet been set. The bill states, this bill intends to end the anomaly in which the state has no set borders. Therefore, we propose that the borders of the State of Israel, as they were on June 4, 1967, to be its permanent borders. The state's sovereignty will apply only in the areas included in the aforementioned boundaries. The peace agreements with the states and nations of the region will be based on the state's aforementioned borders and on mutual agreement. Well, this would mean that all the Jews of the Golan Heights, Judea and Samaria, would be forced to leave their homes and move back to the pre-June 4th, 1967 borders. Well, we have a historical example of what happens when you move Jews out of the Arab neighborhoods. It's called Gaza. And only terror comes from it and rockets. And for the Arabs that are forced to live under Hamas's rule, terror for them also. This would mean that Israel would only be nine miles wide at its narrowest. It would mean that we will give up the sources of the vast majority of our water supply. It will mean that our enemies will be able to place military and tanks on the high ground overlooking the coastal plain, along with rockets. So let's cut through this. These Arabs are not Israelis, for they don't seek Israel's best interest. They only seek to weaken Israel so their brothers and cousins can destroy Israel. They are traitors and should be treated as such, but that's not going to happen. It's a miracle that God survived, and for the godless Marxist capos of J Street and the rest of the left wing. Yes, I mean God has saved us from the likes of you and your Arab brothers more times than we can count.
Okay, Yoni, don't you think they have a right to shoot at the children and the kibbutz below the Golan Heights?
Absolutely they do, if I can shoot back with bigger things and end the problem once and for all.
But that's what they were doing, certainly. I'm surprised they don't suggest...
Oh, absolutely they were.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they don't demand that Israel go back to the 1947 partition lines where it's got looks like three pieces of sausage strung together. It's unbelievable.
Well, why don't they just be honest and say, Allahu Akbar, Ikhbach al-Yuhud, Allah is great, slaughter the Jews.
Well, that's the way they talk in the press, and that's the way they teach their children, that's for sure.
Yoni, absolutely.
Yoni, you're going to be the Prime Minister of Israel, as appointed by me, for a full show sometime in July, okay? You can't do it
Fantastic.
This month. We'll do it
July is wide open for me.
Excellent.
All right. Sounds great.
Very good. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right. Ted Bellman in Israel. Israel pundit. How are you, Ted?
I'm doing fine. Nice to be on your show.
Great. And thank you very much. You've been on before. and I appreciate it very much. Mayor Jalovitz focused on the fact that the PLO, the PA, will never make peace with Israel. Obviously, we've been talking about that probably the entire length of Middle East Radio Forum for 16 and a half years, and I know you agree with him. You're not going to focus on that. You're going to focus on the Trump team's agenda and tactics. I'm going to let you start off talking any way you like regarding that topic. Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, when Trump first came into office, he did a lot of things to take down the PA and take down UNRWA. And he started immediately to work them over, and he cut financing. He shut down their embassy in Washington, D.C., and cut their financing in UNRWA. He also cut their financing, and he went one further and questioned the idea that that all these Palestinian refugees, so-called, are really refugees.
Ted, let me interrupt now, you for a second. Ted, hold on a second. You mentioned UNRWA. We know what that is, but there may be some listeners who do not. Can you briefly explain what that is when you use initials? Because not everybody's going to understand.
Okay, fair enough. It's the United Nations Welfare Relief Act. I think that's the meaning. And what they basically have done, they set up this organization to take care of the real refugees from 1948. And they included, when it was first set up, the Jews, any refugees. Now, within 2 years, the Jews were no longer part of that, and they removed themselves. And over the years, this organization, UNRWA, continued to provide services to the refugees, like healthcare, education, and the like. And they were never doing it in a way that they were seeking peace. Ultimately, they became controlled by Hamas, and they work hand in glove with Hamas to produce school curriculum that makes martyrs of all the young kids.
And
they
Ted,
taught to hate Israel.
And so, pardon me, Ted, explain what do you mean by refugees. This is very different. They talk about all of the descendants and so on.
Yeah, well, there's a real definition of a refugee. I mean, that's a whole subject in itself. But a refugee normally is somebody who is forced out of their long-time home, and if they just moved in a few months ago and they had to leave, they're not considered refugee. It has to be a home of long standing. And for this particular organization, they decided that it's enough of a refugee if you were there even less than 2 years, you could be considered a refugee. Secondly, what the Arabs always do is that they allow the refugee status to be inherited. So if your father was a refugee, you're a refugee. And so that's why the numbers continue to grow, let's say from 500,000 to maybe 3-4 million, simply because of the population explosion. But that's not really what a refugee is. It's only for the actual person who lost his home, long-term home. So that's another violation of the norm, so to speak. And what UNRWA became, instead of, if you look at UNCHR, which settles all kinds of refugees all over the world, their job is to settle them, whereas UNRWA's job is to keep them in limbo. And there's no attempt whatsoever to settle them elsewhere. So that's UNRWA. Trump cut down on their funding and started to raise the question of what's a refugee? Okay? So that's another thing that he did. And then things went further. During this period of time, he appointed basically Orthodox Jews from New York, Greenblatt, Kushner, and Friedman, all of whom knew Judean Samaria had committed to it, supported the settlements, and so on. That's how big a friend Trump is of Israel, that he would appoint these people who basically had a bias to helping Israel. And they were to create the deal of the century. And over the last few years, they kept saying, oh, we're talking about a port, and maybe we'll do this, and we'll give them a place where they can have part of Jerusalem. And over the three-year period, all kinds of ideas were floated around, and they weren't even talked about as ideas, but initiatives. And what I can say about all that is that they were filling space, because you have to have something going on in the way of a peace process. So they kept talking for 3 years, all the different ideas and whatever. And if they're filling the space, nobody can come in with another plan. And that's essentially what they did. But finally, February or January 27th or 28th, they finally tabled a deal. The document was, I think, 180 pages, called Peace to Prosperity. And it was a very interesting document. Israel received it with great fanfare, because the document itself said Israel would be able to annex, and I'll come back to that word shortly, immediately, the vast majority of settlements and the Jordan Valley. And they could do this immediately, which was really a unilateral move, and the Palestinians had no say in it, which was remarkable. I haven't mentioned, but prior to this, Trump also sorted out two other key issues. He gave the Golan to Israel, reaffirmed it's theirs, and he did the same with Jerusalem, basically taking it off the negotiating table. That's essentially what he did. So it was no longer something to be negotiated. He gave it to Israel. And now he was giving the Jordan Valley and the settlements where they could annex them. And I'll just comment on that, because it's a very important thing. A lot of people use the short form annex because it's easier. Everybody knows what annex means, except it doesn't apply here. Because, for instance, if you're a municipality and you want to annex a wider perimeter, let's say an extra mile in around you, so it's not part of you, and so you annex it and becomes part of you. But all this land west of the Jordan is Israel's already. They don't have to annex it. It's theirs. All they have to do is extend Israeli law to these territories. So the real way to describe it is extending sovereignty or Israeli law. It is not a real annexation. So there you have the distinction.
And Ted, I think what's important to talk about, you talk about all this land is Israel, and certainly I agree with you, and it's historical Israel. It was part of the Balfour Declaration. Also, it was recaptured in a defensive war and under international law. I mean, that becomes Israeli law anyway, but it already was. So I think that's important to make sure everybody understands on several bases this is all Israel.
Well, let me expand on that, because the Balfour Declaration didn't give them any legal rights. It was a statement of intention. But a couple of years later, at San Remo, the victors got together and they voted in favor of this land being Jewish land and Israel having the right to reconstitute what was. In other words, the Jewish state that existed prior to its destruction by the Romans could be reconstituted, not created out of thin air, but brought back to life.
And so under San Remo, it was including all of what's today presently Jordan. So it's much
Correct.
Bigger. And that's correct. Another story. We have talked about that on the show before, so we don't need to get into that. But go ahead with your okay. presentation.
All right. So, and by the way, it wasn't just San Remo, but then it was upheld in the League of Nations mandate, and then it was upheld in the Charter of the United Nations. So all the way along, they did this, okay? Anyways, this is getting away from what I really want to talk about, what this plan was all about, instead of giving a history lesson. We'll come back to it if anybody cares to. But I'll just mention one thing important in this regard. Today I posted an article that Jason Greenblatt, one of the Trump's team for creating this plan, wrote. And he took issue with an Arab sheikh.
30 seconds, please, Ted. 30 seconds to break.
Okay. Basically, he said the lands are not Palestinian land, and went on to say they're disputed land. And I say, no, they're not disputed. They're ours 100%. The Arabs may not like it and try to dispute it, but they're ours.
Okay, I've got to stop you there. We have three breaks. We're controlled by the computer here. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Most times I alternate in this chair with Mayor Jolovitz, who's a wonderful presenter also. So thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show, but I especially thank you for helping me bring the show to you. The best way to do that is by using the services of the advertisers. And please, each time you do, you need to tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. You'll hear some new ads. We've got Veggie Village on. We have Manor Barbershop. Please, please use their services. Let them know that their advertising on this program is appreciated. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ted Bellman. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885. There are a lot of great Mexican restaurants in Phoenix, but I am very particular. When I want the best Mexican lunch or dinner, I head straight to Mi Patio on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. They serve all your favorite dishes and only use pure vegetable oil in their cooking. Mi Patio is sure to become your favorite Mexican restaurant, too. That's Mi Patio Mexican Restaurant on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. Dr. Rick Campbell of SunriseSmileDesign.com is my family's new dentist. General and cosmetic dentistry with a terrific supporting staff makes for a great dental experience. Located at 7227 North Dreamy Draw, Suite 2 in Phoenix, call them at 602-944-4577 as they are accepting new patients. That's Dr. Rick Campbell, 602-944-4577. This is William Wolf. My weekday job is a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I have been named Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. There is no charge for our first meeting, and I take all cases on a contingent fee basis. Call me at 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. 279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. I alternate with Mayor Jolovitz. And remember, the show is rebroadcast on the station Saturday evening from 9 to 10 p.m. My guest is Ted Bellman from Israel. And Ted, you're talking about, in fact, this land is not disputed. You want to continue that discussion?
Right. I just wanted to make the point that here, Greenblatt, who is part of the Trump team, played into that lie. To me, it's a misnomer, is what I say. The lands are definitely belonging to the Jews, and therefore the only thing that makes them disputed is that the Arabs don't like it.
And so it's similar
but it's
to
still
the,
our you, land.
Ted, it's similar to the what? Use of the phrase West Bank. There is no such thing. How wide is the bank of a river? 10 feet? That's ridiculous. That's a propaganda term to remove the Jewish character of the land. It's Judea and Samaria. But go ahead, please.
All right. In any event, so what was this deal that he tabled? Firstly, I mentioned that Israel could immediately annex the settlements in the Jordan Valley. And within 2 days, we were told that that's not possible, that there are mapping concerns, and it'll take a few months. That was a big disappointment. Now, aside from that issue of timing, the deal basically was that Israel could take the settlements in the Jordan Valley up front, and all they had to do is agree to a freeze over the rest of the land, which ends in 4 years. Now, the freeze meant no construction. And what that is basically saying, we'll give the Arabs 4 years to cut a deal. After that, Israel is free to take over all the land, do whatever it wants. That was the structure of it. And and Israel simply had to agree to negotiate in good faith. And if they did that, they would get immediate transfer of the settlements in the Jordan Valley. Now, the reaction of the PA was 1,000 no's and nothing to talk about, nothing to go forward, whatever. No surprise there. That's always their reaction, even if it's a sweetheart deal. This was a little hard for them to take, and there's no discussion, and it's not happening. Now, there's yet to be a pundit who actually believes that a Palestinian state will actually be created as a result of this plan. So as I wrote one of my articles, I said, surely the Trump team knows this, so why did they table the vision? Like, they're not stupid, certainly not more stupid than the pundits are, and no pundit allowed at all for this state to be created. And I say, surely Trump knows that, so what's he doing? And I wrote, in my opinion, he wanted to present a new vision to replace the old vision. And during the next 4 years, they will advance their vision and negate the old vision. Now, the old vision was the Arab Peace Initiative of 2002 that required Israel to go back to the 67 borders with minor land swaps to allow the refugees to all return to Israel, to divide Jerusalem. And it was impossible for a deal to come out of this. So the Arab Peace Initiative was the old vision. And obviously, President Obama did his best to make that a reality, and he didn't succeed. Now, so what's Trump's vision? And that's a very interesting thing. Trump's vision was that Israel has historical and valid legal claims to the land. So historical and legal, and they declared settlements were legal, you may recall. So we're getting away from the Arab narrative that has us as occupiers and interlopers, and Trump wanted to create a new narrative based on our valid legal and historical claims. So that was a change of vision. The document had a number of other things in it, some of them are very surprising. It reaffirmed that Israel didn't have to withdraw from 100% of the land as stipulated in Resolution 242 after the Six-Day War.
Well, hold on a second. 242 never said 100%. It talked about from land.
Correct.
But go ahead.
It never said 100%, but the Arabs kept demanding 100%. This document says basically, screw you. The resolution didn't require 100%.
Okay, Ted, I need to interrupt you. We do have a caller, long-distance caller. May I take his question now? And then we
sure.
All right,
sure.
Doug from Tucson. Doug, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
Hello, Bill and Mr. Bellman. Bill, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Bellman, you're all over the map here, which is understandable because you and Bill are trying to cover a lot of ground. I just want to talk to you about Trump's vision. My question for you is, I don't think that Trump's international vision as a whole is very good. In fact, I think it's disastrous for the U.S. and for Israel. So my question for you is just this. Given the fact that if Biden is elected, the U.S. administration would not be supportive at that point of this annexation idea. The question for you is, what's really the rush for Israel? If it has to be done now just for political reasons because Trump's in office, I argue that that's a mistake. While the pundits agree that there may not be a two-state solution in the near future, Israel gets stronger, the Palestinian position gets weaker, I think there should be great optimism for the future of a two-state solution within the next 10 years, and I'd like you to comment on that, or you're just welcome to tell me why I'm wrong, and thank you again, Bill.
All right, thank you, Doug. Go ahead, Ted.
I prefer to tell you why you're wrong, dead wrong. Firstly, there's not a chance in hell that Biden will get elected. Trump will see another 4 years. And I have lots of reasons for saying that. Secondly, and I wrote a comment on my blog on this, and I said, at the top of my blog, it says that there's no diplomatic solution. By that, I meant we will never come to an agreement with the Arabs. So the left used to say there's no military solution. And I dreamed up this my own. And I said, there's no diplomatic solution. I believe in unilateralism. Now, the same goes in the States. If you try to cut a deal, like AIPAC tries to cut a deal with and keep the Democratic Party part of the deal, and they say, oh, we have to have bipartisan. Screw bipartisanship. All they want to do is water down what Trump wants to give us. I have absolutely no interest in bipartisanship, and Trump will act unilaterally and get the job done, and the Democrats are not our friends.
Okay, I've got to interrupt everybody because we are coming up on the second break of today's show. We'll come back. If Doug's still on the line, we'll let Doug comment. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show. And I especially thank you for supporting the show by using the services of my advertisers. The advertisers are the lifeblood of this program. No advertisers, no Middle East Radio Forum. And they have to know that their advertising dollars are well spent. So please use the services of all the advertisers, and very important, you need to let them know that you're doing so because they advertise on this program. Again, they need to know that their money is being well spent, and that is the lifeblood of the show. We're well into the 17th year of broadcast, and I'd like to continue doing the show, but I need your kind assistance in supporting my advertisers. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ted Bellman and Doug from Tucson if he's still on the line. Manor Barbershop, 1143 East Glendale in Phoenix, is a great old-fashioned barbershop. Great haircuts to your exact specifications, and they buy any kind of silver and gold. My barbershop for 20 years, senior discounts also. So when you are tired of looking shaggy, you know where to go. 1143 East Glendale, or call them at 602-212-9734. That's Manor Barbershop, 1143 East Glendale. Open every day, 8:30 to 5:30, except Sunday. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. Complete Chiropractic and Injury Service, located at 27th Avenue and Bethany Home Road, is your go-to chiropractic office for any accident, injury, or chronic problem. I have worked with them with many of my clients and received uniformly great results. So if you are injured or have chronic pain, you know who to call. Dr. Daniel Sevier at Complete Chiropractic and Injury Service, 602-242-2050. That's 602-242-2050. Maryland Deli and Mini Mart on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland is much more than just a great Shell station and Mini Mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, Phoenix. That's Maryland Deli and Mini Mart, 602-277-6269.
Are you vegetarian or vegan? Boy, do we have the restaurant for you. Veggie Village at 1255 East Northern in Phoenix, a terrific restaurant. Chicken, shrimp, calamari, mutton, and fish, all made from plants, a delight to your taste buds. This is a really exceptional restaurant. Closed on Sunday, but otherwise 6 days of terrific dishes. That's Veggie Village, 1255 East Northern, or call them at 602-944-1088.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's very interesting edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Next Sunday, it'll be Mayor Jolovitz. I've got a call on the long distance line from David and Skokie, but first we're going to finish up with Doug's question from Tucson. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, I finished. I'm shocked. I love Trump's policy in the Middle East, and obviously the questioner doesn't have a clue what it is, and he simply says it's no good. And besides which, foreign policy is a prerogative of the president. Why would anyone look for bipartisan support if the president can unilaterally do what he wants? So we're taking it at that level, and we're just running with it.
Okay, Doug, I'll give you a very short time to respond if you like.
I would just point out to Mr. Bellman, I'm a lefty Democrat, but no matter what decision Israel makes on annexation, I will continue to support Israel because I believe Israel's overall in the right. So you're wrong about Democrats, but here's the big issue. You, in your own realm, you've got this guy, Daniel Pipes, who disagrees with you. And now we know that Chaim Saban has come out. So the point is there is division. in the right wing as to whether or not the timing of this move is good. The better thing to do is you have Trump for the last 4 years. If you have him for another 8 years, you can do this deliberately. There should be no rush to do it by July 1st. Thank you, Bill. And I'll tell you, Mr. Bellman, the lefties know a lot more than you think we do.
Okay, thank you. And it won't be for another 8 years. It'll just be for another 4 years. Let's go to David in Skokie. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you answer the concern that's often raised when discussing extending Israeli law over all the territories that due to demographic trends, Jews will become a minority in the very near future, which means that in order to remain a Jewish state, the government can no longer be a democracy. So in order to remain a democracy, the government would have to give the Arabs full voting and civil rights, which could ultimately end the Jewish character of the state.
Okay, thanks for your question. Go ahead, Ted.
First of all, let me deal with the demographics. Israel is wiping the floor demographically with the Arabs. They're going down a number. We're going up a number. We've never been better. Presently, our fertility rate exceeds the Arab fertility rate. And so we're growing, and Aliyah is growing, even doubled from America this year. So that's not a worry. Secondly, and this is more propaganda, people say that if we annex it, we have a duty to give citizenship to the Arabs living in the property. Why? Because they don't have any other citizenship. But the Trump plan foresees them being Palestinians. So we don't have, and they'll have Palestinian citizenship, and they don't, so we can annex the land without being apartheid.
Okay, David, any response?
Well, I just don't know. I mean, every demographic study I've seen shows the opposite of what you said.
No, not so. Remotely. Check it out. Not remotely.
I checked it out.
It's all over the place.
I know it is.
Okay. Well, we'll have to discuss that on a future show. I know there's a very prominent Israeli who's very involved in the demographics. I'm not coming up with his name at the moment, Ted. You may know who that is.
Ettinger.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. We'll have to have him on again, and maybe David can call in again. Okay, Ted, you've got about another minute to continue. Then we have to go into another break. Go ahead, please.
All right. So in any event, a couple of other things that this document gave to Israel. One was that the Jewish refugees from Arab lands from 1950, of which there's 800,000 at that time, this document says that they should finally be compensated. It's time after, 70 years. So that's a big plus. Secondly, another big problem that Israel has, or Jews and Christians have, on the Temple Mount is that they're not allowed to pray as much as they want.
But the Arabs are allowed to. Go figure. Go ahead.
Well, Trump has said no more. You can't restrict the prayers from Jews and Christians. So that's in the document, too. Okay?
All right.
Do you want me to continue?
Let me go into the next break. Thank you. We have three breaks, and this is the third one coming up. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Next Sunday will be Mayor Jolovitz, and he probably will comment on some of the discussion today, including some of the calls we've had today. I take all calls. I don't screen the calls. So we may get some things that disagree with us, but that's fine. We're certainly able to handle any disagreements. And again, I ask you to please help me bring the show to you by using the services of the advertisers. And please always tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. People have asked how they can support the show when they're not able to use the services of the advertisers. For instance, they're out of state, out of country even. I've gotten donations from as far as South Australia and from the Netherlands, so I appreciate that very much. Direct donations can be mailed to me, and please make the check out to William J. Wolf, and the office address is 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. I'll repeat that address, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. I very much appreciate any direct donations, but really the best way to support the show is by using the services of the advertisers, because they're with me each and every Sunday. They need to know that their advertising dollars are well spent. Please stay with us. We're going to have the longest segment of today's show with Ted Bellman coming up. Manhattan Pizza and Subs, 5224 North 7th Street in Phoenix, is the best place for kosher pizza, subs, salads, and pasta. When you have to have the best kosher lunch or dinner, head straight to Manhattan Pizza and Subs. Open Sunday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday, 10 till 3, and Saturday, 1 hour after dark to midnight. That's Manhattan Pizza and Subs, 5224 North 7th Street, or call them at 602-248-8086. Maryland Deli and Mini Mart on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland is much more than just a great Shell station and Mini Mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, Phoenix. That's Maryland Deli and Mini Mart, 602-277-6269. Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090. Tex-Az Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street has been my favorite steakhouse for 31 years. Great food, especially their chicken fried steak, as well as daily specials in a comfortable setting, keeps me coming back for more. You just have to try it for yourself. Also a great Sunday brunch starting at 10 in the morning. That's Tex-Az Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street. Give them a try and you will have a new favorite steakhouse too. My name is William J. Wolf, host of Middle East Radio Forum since 2003. As you may know, I am a personal injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was just awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I handle all types of personal injury and wrongful death cases. Unlike many other attorneys, especially the high-volume TV advertising attorneys, I do go to court if necessary to obtain the best possible resolution for all my clients. It is often impossible to obtain the best possible result if your lawyer does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. If you have a claim, please call me for a free initial consultation at 602-279-1914. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Again, call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and making sure that you obtain the best possible recovery. Call 602-279-1914 and please continue to support Middle East Radio Forum.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's very interesting edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ted Bellman in Israel. And you'll see from the two calls we took, we take all calls. We do not screen calls. When you call here, all we do is ask your first name and where you're calling from, and we can handle all the questions that you have to make. So that's fine. So please don't hesitate, but please don't wait till the end of the show to call in. I hate for people not to get on the air because they called too close to the end of the show. So the lines are open now. If you want to call in, please do. Ted, go ahead, please.
Now, there's another basic difference that's very important to mention. In Oslo, there were a number of covenants or promises that the PLO made in order to get this deal, and they never honored any of their promises. This deal is different. This deal says everything must be done in advance and completed before you have a state. So they have to adopt basic laws. They have to be stop the pay for slaying. They have to revise their education system. Every negative thing about how they conduct themselves must be eradicated before they get a state. So that's a big difference. Now, there's huge controversy I like the plan. I'm happy with it, but not everybody is. And one of the callers, he mentioned Daniel Pipes. Surprisingly, Daniel Pipes had his own reasons. And I don't want to get into, he's entitled to his reason. But many people, the left in Israel, are against it. But the surprising thing is that half the settlers are against it. And you have to understand why. The settlers say the two-state solution was dead and buried. And they are very upset that this plan raises it up again and makes it something to talk about. As far as they're concerned, there isn't a Palestinian state and there never will be. And they don't want to give any hint that the possibility of a Palestinian state is out there, even although nobody thinks it'll ever happen. They don't want to concede the possibility. That's half the settlers, very powerful, very vocal. So that's where that is. Now, if there's all kinds of people writing that this vision is taking too long, the Trump team is not happy with Israel. There's a million criticisms that are coming out. Everything looks like it's falling apart at the seams. The Arab countries are complaining and saying, don't do it. And everything that Kushner worked to build looks like it's falling apart. And so you might say smart money is on the plan not going anywhere, nothing happening. But I remain a believer that, what they say about war and the art of deception, I don't believe any of it, and I think that the annexation will take place.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now we're ready for questions. I just wanted to complete the story.
Okay. I do have another caller. This is Carl Goldberg, who is also a guest on this program, very knowledgeable, especially in Islam. He's been studying Islam very, very carefully ever since 9/11. Carl, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for all of your blogs and your articles that you link to. Now, I have a question here. It essentially has to do with this concept of a two-state solution. Many people, including the lefty from Tucson who just called, confuse the two concepts of a solution and a two-state solution. I mean, it's possible to have a Palestinian state so you'd have two states, but it is not possible that that will be a solution if by a solution you mean that the Palestinian Muslims will ever agree to live in peace with a sovereign Jewish state. Could you please comment on that?
Well, you as a scholar of Islam know better. You know that they will never succumb and submit. But let me tell you what my vision is, that I believe it'll happen. 3 years ago, I held a conference in Jerusalem in which I put forward the idea that my guy, Mudar Zahran, should take over Jordan and in place instead of the king and force the king to abdicate. That was my plan, and I was vocal about it. I was outright about it, and it got a lot of attention. Now, I made a deal with Mudar. I said, you get into office, and I want you to do two things. I want you to invite all Palestinians to emigrate to Jordan, all 5 million of them. Just like the Jews have a law of return, all Palestinians can go to Jordan. Secondly, I want you to reaffirm the Jordanian citizenship for all Palestinians. I says, that's what I want you to do. My job is to incentivize the Arabs living in Israel or Judea and Samaria to emigrate 50 miles to the east to Jordan. And that's what I will promote. So it's a whole other story. How is he going to come to power? But my vision has Mudar Zahran taking over Jordan. And one of the things that he wants to do, he wants to cooperate with Israel, not confront Israel as the current king is doing. And the deal is that you help us with our economy and we'll take in the Palestinians. And so we're planning all kinds of things that produce economic zones in Jordan to attract the Palestinians in Israel to emigrate. And we believe we can get maybe 2 million Arabs in Gaza and in the West Bank to emigrate to Jordan. That's my plan.
Okay, Carl, anything further?
Well yes, about emigrating to Jordan and about having Muzar take over Jordan. How do you propose that he's going to confront the Jordanian army and the king? And,
also, I can't get into that.
Okay, if he ever does take over, what about the enormous anti-Israel and anti-Semitic sentiments among the Jordanian population?
Okay, thank you, Carl.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's like 90% hate Israel, and that's part of the education. But Mudar, I once said to Mudar, I said, I know what the deal you made with me, but what's your public face going to be? And he says, well, the people need to eat, and I'm going to provide for them. Okay. And he thinks that they'll shift to a better deal under him, and they'll forget about their hatred of Israel.
Okay, let's go to Jack from Scottsdale. Jack, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I know it's a complicated issue. I was wondering what kind of relationships or interests Dershowitz or any of people in the United States, you know, that kind of support what you're doing. Is there much of an effort publicly to...
No.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, there's no question that Dershowitz is a great ally for Israel because he's coming from the left. And he's an old school liberal, and he stands up for law and order. And whenever there's, so he sets the record straight, and we're lucky to have him. Okay, but he doesn't know anything about the Jordan option because we never tried to educate the Israeli people or the Americans to the solution. So we haven't. This isn't a popularity contest. We haven't tried to sell it to either constituency.
Okay.
So they don't know about it.
Anything further, Jack?
Nope, that clarifies.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, Ted, you got about 6 minutes to go ahead with whatever you want to prioritize in that 6 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'll just fill in a little bit of the blanks. A year ago, Kushner held the Bahrain conference, and Kushner has gotten the Gulf states to agree to what this annexation plan, and he's got them to agree to put up $50 billion. That was what was committed at Bahrain for the purpose of resettling Palestinians. So that's still there, whereas the Arabs will always, they don't tell you what they're thinking. The leadership doesn't tell you what they're thinking. The leadership goes public with what the people want. But behind the scenes, they talk a different game. And for them, it's realpolitik. They got to worry about Iran. They need Israel to be the leader of their defense. And nothing is worth to them what it is worth to them to have Israel as a military asset.
Okay, Ted, what do you think? You mentioned Iran, and Iran is obviously continues to develop their atomic weapons. And we have Trump in office, so Israel, I'm sure, has a freer hand now than they would if, in fact, Biden gets elected or whoever the Democrats put up. Is Israel going to do something under the Trump administration that perhaps they feel they could not do under a Democratic administration?
Absolutely. There's no way Iran will get the bomb. Secondly, I want to point something out. And this is very interesting. Trump, his Middle East policy, he keeps making noises about withdrawing from Syria, withdrawing here, withdrawing there. But he wants to leave somebody in place to take care of American interests. It is for that reason that he's been building up Israel, giving them more money, giving them the Golan, solving all their various problems. He wants Israel to be militarily stronger with the Jordan Valley and whatever, and Israel, together with the Arabs, will maintain American interests in the Middle East. That's his plan. That's why he's getting out, but he's not getting out without putting Israel on a firm footing.
Okay, you say
so. That's part of what's happening.
You say Iran will never get the bomb. Well, I mean, it's really not known exactly what they're doing. I realize Israeli and American intelligence is very good, but still, they don't have access to these atomic weapon sites. How does anybody know how far along they are?
All the intelligence that I read is that Iran is violating everything and making a rush for the bomb.
Right. So my point is, how do we know? You say Iran will never get the bomb. How do you know they're not almost on the verge of having it? How do you know they don't already have
it? Because we'll bomb the shit out of them before it happens, pardon the language.
Yeah, that language doesn't go
on the radio.
They're
not going to be permitted. I'm sorry. They're not going to be permitted to get the bomb. Is that a better way to put it?
Well, but the thing is, how do we know, how does anybody know when they're actually going to have it so that they have to be bombed to prevent it? I mean, they're not being bombed now.
What do they do? What do they do with Iraq? They bombed the Osirk nuclear site. They don't wait till it's done.
Now, I understand
they will
do it. But Iran already has reactors. They're already you've got the centrifuges going, making bomb-grade uranium, making plutonium. But my question again is, how do we know with any certainty where they are in their atomic weapons program?
Well, I'm not enough of an intelligence expert to know, but we know.
Okay.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt we know everything that's going on.
Well, you're more optimistic than I am, and I certainly hope I'm wrong, and I hope that you are correct.
And
about
if there's
that.
A risk, if there's a risk, they won't take the risk, they'll do it.
Well, they're going to have to do it when they're sure that Trump's in office, I would think.
Yeah, well, things are happening because we needed to be able to drop bunker buster bombs. I think we have the bombs from the United States now, and we need big planes like B-52s, and we have those too. Trump is putting us in a position to deal with them.
Are you saying Israel now has B-52s?
They've made an arrangement. My memory, I know it's been talked about. We need those planes to drop the bombs. And I've read also that we're getting the bombs. So where the timing is, I can't be definitive.
Okay, Ted, I very much appreciate your being on the show today. It's been a very interesting, very lively conversation. Tell people how they can access your website and make a donation.
Thank you. But I'll just mention one other thing, that Israel has atomic submarines that they can, within seconds, shoot off warheads to destroy Iran from the submarines that are in the straits. Now, my site, and I recommend that everybody subscribe to my daily digest, and you will then register and log in, and you'll be able to see if you're into detail. I cover American policy, but it's very easy, and you can get my daily digest. So I suggest that you go to the site, israelpundit.org, and subscribe and register. And I have a lot of followers. It's free, and if you want to make a contribution, it's appreciated.
Okay, and let me spell that for everybody: ISRAPUNDIT. And as always, if you ever miss anything on the show, just send me an email at radioforum@AOL.com, and I'll get you the information. Next Sunday, Mayor Jolovitz returns. His topic, 2020, the year 2020, the political world in chaos, in place of truth, falsehood, in place of justice, injustice, in place of common sense, lunacy, and hypocrisy. Mayor is a wonderful presenter. I guarantee you will enjoy the show, and more importantly, you will learn a lot of things from Mayor. So please spread the word about the show and make sure you tune in. Please continue to use the services of the advertisers and let them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. Again, we are in the 17th year of broadcast, more than halfway through the 17th year. I thank you for your support. I thank you for you spreading the word about this show. I thank you for listening and hope everybody has a wonderful evening.